Welcome to the Business of Sales podcast. I'm Morris Sims, and hey, today I've got a secret to share with you, okay? We're not telling anybody except the great people who listen to the Business of Sales. So you ready? Here we go. We are building a communication system to share brief, one page or less, emails with ideas, concepts, knowledge, and skills that you can use to improve your financial services business. Help it to grow, help you just to improve your results. All those kind of things are what we're going to be sharing. Okay, now somebody out there just said, okay, Morris, like what? What are we really talking about? Well, when you register, you're going to get a free audio program on marketing. 22 minutes that you can listen to on your commute or while you work out or obviously any convenient time for you. So to get your marketing audio program and register for more, go to getcourse.cc/marketing. That's getcourse, getcourse.cc/marketing. Won't you please join us? I think you're going to find a lot of what we share to be useful in your business. You're getting an advanced heads up here, folks. I mean, this is before anybody else in the world. We're not going to share this until, golly, probably sometime later in July. So please take advantage of your advance notice. Your first email is going to come sometime later in the week of July. And if you decide, of course, at any time that you'd like to not hear from us, all you got to do is click unsubscribe and we're going to get out of your inbox right away. So, hey, thanks for listening to the Business of Sales. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Welcome to the Business of Sales. You're here because you want to improve your results in your business, right? Well, that's exactly you with this podcast. We give you practical ideas to help you, and we have guests on the show who are going to share their expertise, and that's going to help you get what you want. Hey, here's a clip from today's show.
The best salespeople are the ones who are the best listeners, because you can talk to people all day long, but if you don't listen to what they're saying, you will never fulfill whatever it is that is their need.
Jen Snyder is our guest today on the Business of Sales, and it's really interesting to have Jen with us because, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to try and butcher her career and her background. I'm just going to let Jen tell you all about it. So, Jen, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. Please tell us about your background and how you operate within sales.
Sure, absolutely. So I have been in sales pretty much my entire career. It's, started way back in the day serving ice cream cones and hasn't stopped. So I've spent time, working in large corporations, working in my current role, which is in the government space. I've owned my own real estate, responsibilities and, been in that kind of entrepreneurial mode for many years as well. My current situation is that I'm the chief evangelist for a GovTech company. So focused on providing technology solutions to government. I've been in that space pretty much on and off since 2007. My role today is that I support the sales force as well as do all of our speaking engagements, association meetings, bring our customers together because our customers really enjoy listening to, each other and sharing advice, et cetera, amongst themselves. So that's a little bit about me.
Oh, it sounds great. And I checked out your LinkedIn bio, I found that you were also in charge of the sales operation there at GovQA for a while, right?
I was. So when I started with the company back in 2007, that was just when we were starting to experience some expansion and started to hire a sales force. So I was a big part of, defining what that go-to-market was going to look like and hiring the sales force and defining how we were going to bring the product to market. And I did that for many years. And then as we grew as an organization and our products grew and the sophistication of our product grew, we started moving up market. My last position before moving into my current role was to expand a state sales force. So we were selling to all of our state agencies across the country. So yes, I have never really left the sales realm.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, in my opinion. Tell us a little bit about your product. I know you can concisely tell us what it's all about and how it works, because I don't know that I understand what government technology is all about.
Our product today is very focused around bringing tools to the government agencies, the state and local government, to assist them in managing the public records process. So, as you know, Freedom of Information Act, the FOIA Act, allows the public access to quite a bit of information from our local government. That could be you know, if you think about a police incident, that could be body cam footage, that could be, you know, incident reports, anything to do with an incident of any kind. It could be budgeting money. It could be proposals on something that they want to get done. But the reason that our technology is so important to that is that there are rules and regulations that have to be followed that are different state by state, and there is a lot of risk of litigation. So unfortunately, you know, when you say that the information is public, it doesn't mean that it's always public at the start. You know as well as I do, an active investigation, they're not going to give you everything under the sun just, you know, right off the bat. So what happens in our space today is that, you know, there are folks out there who say, well, I want everything, and if I don't get it, I'm going to sue you. And so the government has to do a lot to protect themselves, as well as to be able to provide the, you know, the evidence that they did their due diligence or are acting in the, you know, the letter of the law. So our software provides them a lot of tools to help with that compliance, to build audit trails, to improve communication, and just make the entire experience better and more secure.
So in all reality, your product is, while certainly technical, and it's technology, it's software, it's hardware, it's those kind of things, it's still an intangible sort of a thing when you're making the sale. I mean, you're not handing them a box full of software to use. It's kind of an intangible sale, isn't it?
Yes and no. So it is a subscription-based product. So they are subscribing to use the software. And a lot of that is because the software has to be ever-changing because the rules change. You know, every day something changes in the public record space that makes our software have to adapt to it. So the software on a subscription model allows them to constantly have the most current and accurate software. It also allows us to put it in the cloud, which will allow the delivery of that product to be in the most secure manner possible. Unlike the old days where you would buy software and you would put it on your computer and then eventually you would have to upgrade it and it would become out of date, this doesn't happen with our type of software.
Well, that's interesting. That kind of tells me a lot more about what your salespeople have to do and how they have to operate. What do you think, Jen? I mean, you've been in the sales world for a long time. Tell us what you think. What makes a great sales professional compared to some other sales professional out there? What makes somebody really great at doing this work?
I love this question. So I think it's interesting because most people get into sales because they think they're very outgoing and they like to talk to people. And so they kind of, migrate into a sales role because they think that's where those talents fit. But I personally think the best salespeople are the ones who are the best listeners. Because you can talk to people all day long, but if you don't listen to what they're saying, you will never fulfill whatever it is that is their need.
And that's what we're in business to do. We're here to help people get what they want, right?
Yep, absolutely. But if you don't listen, you won't exactly know what they want.
You'll never find out. It'll never happen. Oh, that's a great point. Thank you so much. That's right on target. Tell us more about what great salespeople need to do. There's a lot more to it than just showing up and asking a few questions.
It starts with, you know, your research. You should know who you're talking to. You should be prepared to, you know, to provide, you should know your product, but you also have to know your audience. Who are you going to meet? What's important to them? What's going on in their space so that you can position not only yourself and your product, but the entire conversation to be targeted at their interest. You just have to focus in on all of those things. You have to give yourself the opportunity to become the subject matter expert, knowing your product, knowing your market, knowing the audience that you're speaking with is all part of bringing that to the table, because that's going to help you give your customer or potential customer the level of confidence needed to create that partnership.
Because it is all about them. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about you and what's important to you today and what's important to your family and your business and how can we help you get what you want in those particular areas, whichever is most important to you. And we find that out by asking questions and, as you said, listening, which is so very, very important. Jen, one of the things that I find professional salespeople and entrepreneurs of all different kinds struggle with is the old thing that people like to call time management, but in reality, we don't manage time. We can only manage ourselves. How have you helped salespeople learn how to manage themselves to make the best use of their time?
That's a really good point, because I personally learned this the hard way in my real estate career, because, you know, I quickly had to realize that I had to be very disciplined with my calendar, because the first thing we do as salespeople is look for the squirrel, right? Oh, squirrel, I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to go take care of that.
I love it. You're absolutely right. That pretty butterfly, it's going to distract me every time.
It happens to the best of us. And in my real estate career, I realized quickly that, you know, if I didn't hunt and kill, I didn't eat. So I had to get very disciplined about the part of the job, which is the quickest to push aside, which is prospecting. You know, going to find the next thing. It's very easy for salespeople to find themselves getting busy with the busy work. And the busy work is not how you become successful. So knowing the things that have to be done on a daily basis and really holding yourself accountable to them. You know, to the point of, you know, shutting your email notifications off, turning off, you know, any distraction, and setting goals, small goals daily that say, I'm going to get this accomplished before I move on to X.
Yeah, a friend of mine loves to call it what's important now. He loves that acronym WIN. In fact, he retired and bought a ranch and named it the WIN Ranch.
I love that.
You know, what's important now? And if there's anything I learned from Eric, it was, make sure you're working on what's important now. So I'm right with you on that one too. It's just absolutely so very, very important. Any particular tips or tools that you use to stay organized, Jen? Anything out there that you can share with us?
A good CRM system keeps you organized. Being disciplined about your calendaring. Very important to make sure that you calendar the things that have to be done. In less successful days, I would make a to-do list. And it seems like every day I was rewriting the same to-do list. To make sure that to-do list gets accomplished, I now calendar it. So everything that has to get done gets calendared so that I can know that at this hour of this day, I need to do this. And that's where those small wins come in. As you were mentioning, you know, the WIN acronym, it's knowing that that's what has to be done right now.
And that allows you then to block your time, and you know that during this period of time, you're going to talk to some guy named Maurice Sims on his podcast. You've got that blocked off, and it's exactly. Right there, right?
Exactly.
And that's what I think so many of us lose, is the concept of blocking out time as salespeople, because, you know, well, every time I'm not in front of a prospect, I'm trying to get in front of a prospect. So why do I have to block time? Well, you do because of those pretty butterflies, those squirrels that are going to come along, and you got to block time to say, okay, during this time, I'm going to do my research. During this time, I'm going to make phone calls or go see or whatever methodology you can use at that moment in life. You know, during this period of time, I'm going to contact people that I think could be qualified prospects for the work that I do. If I don't schedule it, it doesn't get done.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of that same act, you know, when you're managing a sales force, you know, you kind of leverage your CRM in that way, because you will say, if it's not here, it didn't happen. You know, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. It's kind of the same way with trying to be proactive. If you don't calendar it, you don't see it, and you won't hold yourself accountable to it.
Oh, I love that. If it's not documented, it didn't happen. You got some great lines, Jen. You know, I got a kill to eat. I love those. It's just absolutely right on target. You know, we talk a lot about what does it take to be successful. What are the things that you see salespeople do that are not things that are going to help them be successful, but rather are the things that are going to bring them down, the things that are going to be stumbling blocks, going to be problems, going to be things that are going to keep them from becoming successful? Anything come to mind that you can think of that you've seen in your sales force or others that, gee, you know, you keep doing that, you ain't going to make it in this business?
What's the phrase? Don't count your chickens before they hatch. I think in sales, I think sometimes your mind gets a little clouded with the possibility of commission, and you really kind of can lose sight of that. So, you know, what I would say to a salesperson, again, don't count your chickens before they hatch. It's about who you are as a salesperson and your credibility and what will happen after this sale. You know, in my real estate career, I walked away from a very large sale once thank goodness, only had to do it once, but it was, and I did it, you know, for all the right reasons. And it was one of the hardest things I had ever done. And I realized what was holding me back was I was thinking about the commission. I was already thinking about, you know, paying the mortgage or doing this. And that's not what I was supposed to be doing. In order to build the career I wanted to build, I had to think about the partnership I was creating with that buyer and why it was important for them not to buy that house. And when we did find the right house, what was that going to do to my career? And in reality, it brought me a ton more business because I did the right thing for the client. So, you know, don't count your chickens.
And do right. Do the right thing for the client and not necessarily what somebody else may say is the right thing for you, but the right thing for the client. I mean, it's all about relationships, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you have to look at the big picture. You know, that's what that moment was for me, was step back. Yes, would this be a lovely commission? And yes, can I do wonderful things with it? Of course. But what happens after that? When that day ends, what's next? And the reality was what I was going to do, which was not sell that house, was going to build my business much more than that one win.
Yeah, somebody might say, yeah, but my clients don't talk to anybody. It's not like somebody would ever hear about what I did or didn't do. That's not the point. The people that you sell are more likely to do business with you in the future than people that you've never met before. I mean, come on, you've already started to build that relationship, right?
Yep, absolutely. And you know, what's interesting in government sales, you know, when you're in the private sector, a lot of times it's very competitive. So not everyone really cares what someone else did. But in the government world, people really are interested in what other folks have done. If somebody has done the due diligence and made improvements, and maybe that's with the investment in software, they want to know about that. They want to know how you did something to do better with public funds. Building those relationships and having that credibility is very important.
And even doing the research that you mentioned earlier to begin to build that relationship is, I'm learning it. It is more important and more vital than I ever thought. I just read a book called Digital Persuasion by Erin Gargan King. And she talks about doing your research before you ever reach out to someone with an email. It's just, it's all about those relationships. It just seems to always come back to that.
Yes. I think it's just really important to show someone that you took the time. I mean, we can all do analysis to paralysis and we don't want to do that. But right. You should know enough about what you're walking into.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to spend my day on a computer screen researching people, but at the same time, I should know more than the fact that Jen Snyder is out there in Chicago. I should know more than that about Jen before I call her or send her an email. It's about building that relationship. And yeah, people always seem to use the analogy, would you go out with somebody who walked up to you as a stranger and said, hey, let's go have dinner. You want to build that relationship a little bit before you make any kind of a commitment. And answering an email or answering a telephone call, those are actions and commitments that people are looking at. Gee, am I going to do that or not? And it all comes back down to building the relationship. And it's very nice to hear that that occurs in software subscription sales for government operations as much as it does in selling a life insurance policy to a family. So it's just neat. It still boils back down to professional sales. Jen, tell me this. Mm-hmm. How can we help you? What our body of listeners is out there, and if they could do something to be of service to you, what might that be?
I would just, I love the opportunity to talk with people and to learn from others and to have others want to learn from me. So, you know, I would just, of your audience, I would ask that if there's anything that, you know, we've talked about today that they find interesting, you know, I'd love to talk to them more, or I'd love to have them on one of my podcasts as well. So, you know, I just welcome folks to reach out.
Outstanding. And how would we do that, Jen? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. My email address is jsnyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, @govqa.com. Or you can find me as, you know, Jennifer Snyder on LinkedIn. And if you go to our website, govqa.com, and just look up my name, you'll find me and ways to contact me there as well.
So it's govqa.com Folks, give it a shot. I know there's some of you out there. Somebody out there is the mayor of a city in Iowa who needs some software. So give Jen a call. It'll be well worth your while. Jen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the Business of Sales.
No, thank you for having me. It was a wonderful conversation.
Have a wonderful week. And for everybody out there, you guys make it a great week. Enjoy life. We'll see you again next time on the Business of Sales.